Let's open with a word of prayer, please.
Yes.
Father, as we make the transition from busyness and active physical motions and all these kinds of things that life consists of, help us to quiet down now in a way and open our ears and our hearts to you, that we would once again receive what you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing through the Psalms, remember I had said that there were going to be a series of these Psalms where David was in great difficulty. And they're such great Psalms because all of us have difficulties. And if we're not going through one right now, just wait a while or tomorrow or the next day. Because God isn't, well, you may have already been brought to Christ-like perfection and maybe you won't have difficulties, but most of us are not there yet. And he uses those as part of the process of bringing us to where we need to be, right? So today we have another one, Psalm 56, a prayer for relief from tormentors to the chief musician, set to the silent dove in distant lands, a miktam of David, or a teaching psalm of David, where the Philistines captured him in Gath. Now, there's two recorded incidences of David going to King Achish. And this, I think this is the first one. Some commentators say it's all one, but I have a hard time believing that because it doesn't fit to have that all in one thing, although we don't know how much time passes between some of these events. But we have here, David is in great distress. He's in great danger physically. And again, something like most of us have never experienced. We've been in a lot of scrapes, but we haven't had a whole host of the king's army trying to kill us and hunt us down. Let us begin this because this is prayer for relief from tormentors. And one of the things that came to mind was this old Maranatha song, "I cast all my cares upon you." So David is full of cares, as we will see here as we go through this psalm. And maybe you're full of cares this morning as well. So what do you do? We're told here in this song, I'll cast them up on him. So let's sing along.
I lay
So we refer back to, I believe, 1 Samuel 21. Now, in 1 Samuel 20, Jonathan gave David the message that indeed his dad wanted to kill him when he had the lad out in the field shooting the arrows and so forth. And so the very next verse says, now David came to Nob to Ahimelech, and we had that account then where he was looking for bread, and the only thing that he had was a showbread, so he ate that and gave that to some of his people. I guess he had some men with him at any rate. And then he wanted a sword, and the only sword was the sword that he had actually used to kill Goliath, so he leaves with his sword. Now the very next verse, 10, says, then David arose and fled that day before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Doesn't sound like a very good idea to me to go back to where you killed their hero giant, and Goliath was from Gath, as we know. But David isn't making a good decision here, I don't believe. And now we read about the servants of Achish. Now, the second time we have this is over in chapter 27, but nothing is mentioned about the servants of Achish. And it seems like there's some differences between his servants and him, because as we read verse 11, and the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did he not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior, pretending madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? So this is the background now to this psalm that is given to us then in the heading of the psalm, and it is called To the Chief Musician, Set to the Silent Dove in Distant Lands. Now, that's a real long word there in Hebrew, but it's talking about a sound from a dove afar off, and then it's a teaching psalm, a miktam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. And so the word captured there, I'm not quite understanding, because he went there by his own volition. But I think he went there to be undetected, and he was found out. And I think his servants probably hated him and wanted to kill him. And I think Achish, certainly the second time he goes to Achish, Achish welcomes him, and he serves under him for a year and 4 months, we're told. So here now, David is in great danger, so he cries out. And in the first two verses of the psalm, he pours out his complaint here. He says, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. But now notice his response. He's going to do this a couple of times here, actually. He's going to come out, he's going to respond, and then he's going to go back into some more complaints kind of a thing a little bit, or not at least comments. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in what? For you, fill in that blank honestly. Well, I trust in God, but, you know, I got two or three things I'm going to go through first before I go to the Lord, you know. If it's physically, I first got to get a doctor's appointment, you know, and I got to get an MRI, and I get a this, and I got to get that. Well, David says, I will trust in you, in God. I will praise his word. When's the last time you praised his word when you were in great difficulty? In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. Can you say that? Can I say that? How completely do I put my trust in the Lord? Then I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Now, solid in the Lord, knowing where you're going. You know, Jesus said, don't fear those who can take your life. Fear those who have control you, or fear the one, or the forces, so to speak, who can take your life after your life here on earth. Why? I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? And here's what the enemy does. All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger cast down the peoples, O God. So he's there in 6 or 7 bringing up the situation then again. And then now in 8 and 9 we go to another kind of interlude here of him responding. And he says, you number my wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? And I believe everything is in his book. And no question, the tears would be remembered by him. And in those days, they used to have, women would all carry a tear bottle. Had a big wide rim on it, apparently, and it was greatly, you're very proud of that, because that was an indication of your holiness, really. How much do you cry out to the Lord? At least that's what you would think when you saw the tears in there, I guess. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. And we all say hallelujah on that. This I know because God is for me. Do you know that? When's the last time you questioned that? Oh, yesterday? No. But this I know because God is for me. We need to remember that. Even though at the time, at the moment, it doesn't seem like it, right? God is for me. And in a way, the scriptures come back and say, therefore, who can be against me, really? God is for me. In verse 10 and 11, again, very positive verses. In God, I will praise his word. There it is again. Second time, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word the third time. And when we get it twice, you think you're really important. Now we get three times here, I will praise his word. So again, I say, when's the last time in great difficulty? At least three times I would say, I'm praising God's word. I'm praising God's word. I'm praising God's word. Verse 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. And you can't make that statement when you're in great difficulty unless you have God's word to trust. Have God to trust. And then the question, of course, again, up here in verse 4, it's what can flesh do to me? And here it's the same thing, except the words change a little bit. What can man do to me? How often we're afraid of man, but what can man do to you? Well, he can torture me, he can put me in great imprisonment and all, and those are all things that nobody wants. But I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Man cannot change your eternal destiny. Man cannot shorten your eternity with the Lord. Verse 12, vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. Now, we know David was a man who made a lot of vows, and I don't think that's a quality we should follow, because vows typically are broken, and it's better to have not have made them. So often we want to make a deal with God, you know. Get me through this, Lord, and oh, I'll do this, and I'll do that, and everything else. He gets you through it, and you forget all about what you said you would do. But vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from failing? I'm sorry, have you not kept my feet from falling? And for you, how can you answer that? For me, how can I answer those two questions? And he's kept my soul from death and kept my feet from falling. Why? That I may walk before God in the land of the living. He's sustaining us, I believe, until he's done with us. He's sustaining us until your ministry is done, and then you're out of here. That's the way it's going to play out. Father, we thank you for these psalms of giving us such great guidance, great examples of how to approach great difficulties. And we see different scenarios of David, what he went through, and we can relate a little bit to them, although I don't believe any of us have gone through any of these things to the degree that he does in any one of these situations that we are told about here in the Bible. And yet we have the same tendency to cry out to everything else but you in a way, and not to trust you and to doubt you. And then we get into the God why questions, which we know are always foolish, but that's our mind. Our mind wants to know why. And yet, Lord, we so often find that you do not give us the answers to why God, because we cannot understand the answers if you gave them to us. So, Lord, guide us now as we have the time to respond to your Spirit in prayer and just to pray through what you would put on our hearts to bring before you this morning. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Well, we've come pretty much to the end of the hour, and I'd like to call your attention to a song here. We've sung it before. Oh my God, he will not delay, my refuge and strength always. I will not fear, his promise is true. My God will come through always, always. Let's sing along.
My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. Oh,
Father, we thank you for the reminder of your always being a promise-keeping God. You're always meeting us. You're always there for us. And we seem to be needing the reminder to keep ourselves in the right spot, Lord, and reminded again this week a familiar phrase which we used before, but Apostle Paul's urging and begging, Romans 12:1, I beg you, beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, Father, we thank you for your word, as we have mentioned this morning, and we praise you for it. And we would like to kind of depart so often and go out and fix everything, and yet we know we can't. But, Lord, help us to be that witness that would draw people to you, Lord, and only you can save anybody. We have said that and know that. We can't save one person. So, what are we here for? Well, we're here to demonstrate the wonder of you and what you've done in our lives, Lord, and we are grateful. We are grateful. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for each one here committed to prayer. And there's nothing that's needed more than prayer. We all know that, and we all agree with that, and all sounds good, and yes, we'll pray, and then we walk out of here, and so easy to forget to pray, so easy to complain, so easy to say, did you see that? Oh, Lord, but we thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy and your grace. So guide each one of us here today that we would be that witness for you, that you would have us to be just this day, just this one day. And then tomorrow we will look at that tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. Bless each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.